The name of Jesus is above every name. The Bible sets it forth as the name of Him who is its theme. Once again today, we would like, with the Lord's help, to bring you a picture from the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and work, as the way of salvation for mankind. When the Lord was here on earth, He referred to the portion that I wish to speak from today, when He said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Back in Genesis 6, we read, "God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Nothing escapes the eye of God. He who has created man is the one who looks upon man. And in the days of Noah, he saw the condition that necessitated his judgment, how thoroughly ruined man had become through sin, how grossly immoral, how evil in all his ways is seen here when God declares that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord Jesus, in referring to this, tells us that in the days when he is to come, we see the same condition prevail. Violence and corruption shall fill the earth. And I'm sure that my listener today will agree that those days are upon us. The evil increasing on every hand is going to necessitate God's judgment, just as it did in the days of Noah. God himself declares that he has appointed the day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. But what I wish to speak upon is God's salvation from judgment. In the ark that God told Noah to make, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's way of salvation, God's provision for the sinner man. You'll notice in verse 14, he said to Noah, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." And he said, "Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And then he gives the measurements of it. He also says, "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and shalt finish it above." And then he continues, "The door," now mind you, "the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is a breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is set forth in Scripture, in Isaiah, as one who is as a root out of a dry ground. In the wood from which the ark was made, we have a picture of our Savior as he was here on earth, living amongst men, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and yet the true man who had come for the salvation of the world. The Lord Jesus was here not simply as a way shower, but he came to be the way of salvation. Before the ark could be formed, the tree had to be cut down. And before salvation could be accomplished, the Lord Jesus had to die. It is not, dear friends, in the life of Christ that we have salvation from judgment. It is through the death of Christ that there is shelter, that there is salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die, and he was the root out of a dry ground. He was the one who was cut down in the midst of his days. He is the one who died for our sins, according to the Scripture. You see, the wages of sin is death. The penalty must be met, and our Lord Jesus Christ met that penalty when he died at Calvary. Also, you will notice that it was pitched within and without with pitch. Quite interesting to see that this word pitch is the same word from which we get our word atonement. It was that which waterproofed the ark, within and without. It's that which secured those within from the judgment without. And beloved friend, there is only one remedy for sin, and there is only one covering from the judgment of a holy God. What is that, you say? But what is it that has made atonement? In the Old Testament, we read the blood makes atonement for the soul. Also in the New Testament, we read, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. We also have recorded for us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And also referring to another picture in the Old Testament where the blood was applied in the days of the children of Israel, and that night of the Passover, the blood of the Lamb was put on the side post in the lintel, and those that were under the blood were secured, were passed over, were saved. Yes, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that alone can shelter from the wrath of a holy God. And that blood, beloved friends, has been shed. Our Savior on Calvary, from those wounds there received by those who hated him without a cause, poured out his blood to make atonement. God has been satisfied with this. And this is most necessarily because the fact that God has been sinned against is the one who must be satisfied. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has propitiated his holy claims. For the Lord Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfying sacrifice. And God has accepted this, and the blood avails to cleanse and to secure the sinner who comes to him by faith. Now the ark also had a window. It was finished above. Our expectation is only from above. Salvation cannot be received from anything around, from ourselves or from others. Salvation is of the Lord. And thank God our prospect is a sure one. We look above, and God sends his blessings down. God would have all men look up. God created man upright in the beginning, that he might look up. And we would call you to look up today. Look up. Look above. God is desiring to instruct you through his word that salvation comes from him through Christ and him crucified. Another feature that we have here about the ark is that it had a door in it. In fact, it designates this specifically as the door of the ark, which would indicate that there was no other door. Oh, how significant this is. How beautiful the picture. How it fits in with the fact in regards to our salvation and the entrance to blessing that the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Yes, beloved friend, Jesus is the door, the way of entrance to blessing. He does not say, I am a door, as if there were many ways. There are not many ways to heaven. It does not mean, beloved friend, that you can choose your way and I can choose mine, just as there are many roads to a certain place. That is not the way we get to heaven. We must get there by God's way. There is only one entrance. Jesus is that way. I am the door. Just as he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way of entrance but through Jesus Christ. And God sets him forth this way. Nothing could be clearer in picture, and certainly nothing could be more definitely clear in the whole Word of God. The Lord Jesus, that one who bears that name which is above every name, is the one through whom alone salvation can come to mankind. The hope is only in him. Now you notice, it is heartening to read here of Noah who found grace in God's eyes. And God wants to show you grace too. Yes, he does. And salvation is by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And Noah responded to God's word, and he did according to all that God had commanded him. It took him 120 years to do it, we read. And in those days, Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. Peter records him as such. And Paul tells us in Hebrews 11 that by faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Yes, beloved friend, God would have you heed his word, and God would have you turn to Christ. God would have you be the receiver of his grace. And thus, as Noah, he would have you respond to his invitation. The time had come now. Time had run its course. God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And the day of grace is running out now. How many more moments to the day of grace there may be, we do not know. But I do know this, that right this moment, God is saying to you and to all men, come. Just as he said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God is saying to you through Christ, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Noah responded to the invitation. He did all that the Lord had commanded him. And then we read, Noah went in. There was the moment of decision. Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Noah went in. Noah decided that this was what he was going to do. He did not wish to perish. He wanted salvation. He believed God's word. He took God at his word and he went in. He went in through the open door. Noah went in. Beloved, here, have you gone in? Have you come to Christ? Have you made that most important decision? That one which is vital? Oh, beloved, you must go in or else you will be eternally out. There are two sides to this door. And we read farther on that after Noah went in, that the Lord shut him in. Yes, salvation in securing him was at the hand of the Lord. Salvation is totally of the Lord. Those that come to Christ by faith and take the step of faith inside the ark are in Christ. In Christ is the position of salvation. It's the position of security. And our God shut Noah in. And just so, when you come to Christ, the Lord shuts you in the place of blessing. But the same hand that shuts you in and shuts all those who come to Christ in is the hand that shuts the unbeliever out. You know, those who were on the outside allowed present things to engross them. They went on just as if nothing would happen. They were taken up with their ordinary chores or duties. And yes, violence and corruption, sin was manifesting itself. Leaving God out of your life is sinful. It's being ungodly. The flood came and overtook them. The door was shut. They were left outside. Why? They had rejected the word of God. God spoke of judgment. They did not believe it. God spoke of sin, of ruin. They would not be convinced. God spoke of the remedy for it. He set forth the ark. But they would not give heed, and hence they were out. And beloved friend, It's the same truth in connection with those who reject the word of God today. Mercy and grace despised, salvation neglected, can only mean being shut out from the presence of God forever and forever. Those that were out never got in. And thank God those that were in were secured from judgment until the time that the ark rested on resurrection ground, so to speak. And then God giving the wonderful picture there of salvation in a risen Christ on new ground. And that's what salvation means. If any man be in Christ, pictured by the ark, he is new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. We read at the end of this story the result that all flesh died and that Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. I want us all to think about that in closing. There are only two classes in the world. Those that are saved and those that are lost. Those that are in Christ, those that are out of Christ. Those who die in faith and those who die in their sins. And Jesus said, if ye die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. And Jesus said in John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Those are those who are on the inside of the ark. But he that believeth not the Son, those who do not give heed to the word of God, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on them. Not be as those who are on the outside of the ark. The door is still open. Christ is still available. Will you not come? Why will you drift along in your own way? Why will you not turn and come? Oh, beloved friend, drift no longer. Let Jesus save. Let him guide you across the wave, lest you sink in a sinner's grave, drifting over life's sea. You need an anchor. You need a home. You need a hope. You need salvation. It's available for you in Christ. Will you not come to him without delay? Come now, says Jesus, and I will give you rest.